Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. I think Ray is globetrotting. So we'll see if he gets in with us soon. But anyway, listen, you want to join the show? We're talking sports, like we say, with our friends. You're our friends. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. We're big on Twitter, Facebook, and check out the website at rayandtaytoday.com. The email is rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We're talking World Cup, NBA draft coming up, some NFL stuff, Major League Baseball, a lot popping off. Let's jump right into it. The World Cup is on fire. Yes, for us Americans, the USA, we're getting excited because Sunday is a big match against Portugal. But we got a couple of teams that are hot and already advanced to the knockout rounds, like the Netherlands, who are just balling out. Costa Rica today beats Italy, and they were, you know, getting ready to scrap in halftime. Italy was upset. That knocks out Italy. England gets knocked out. And the biggest upset of them all, and also, by the way, Chile has advanced because they beat Spain. Now, Spain has won the last three. They won the World Cup in 2010. They won the last three Euro titles combined or whatever. But the World Cup, right now, Spain is gone. I think we might have Ray with us. And that's pretty big that Spain is gone. But now you got England gone. First time they've been bumped out since 1958 in the first round. Ray, you with us?
Yeah, man. I hear we're talking some World Cup.
Kind of big, right? Yeah. Spain is gone and England is gone. Thanks to Costa Rica beating Italy today. What are your thoughts about your pick is gone, Ray?
Oh, my God. And Costa Rica with the 1-0 victory. I tell you what, I love it. I love it. This is all the underdogs. You know what's funny? I think what it's setting up for is what you predicted potentially, Argentina, Brazil. That would be phenomenal. But, you know, it's so abrupt. Spain, that's the part that really kills me. I mean, Spain had the best run in World Cup. I mean, in world soccer for the past 6 years, their past 6 years has been unbelievable, and they're not even going to make it out of the qualifying round. So, look, I didn't predict it, but hey, get some new blood in there, why not?
And pretty amazing because you got other teams like Costa Rica advances, Chile advances, kind of exciting, and of course the Netherlands, who are, you know, balling out, looking good. We'll see what's up with Germany. Obviously, Argentina plays tomorrow. USA, now listen, we don't have Jozy out the door. That's going to be big. Their number one striker. We didn't expect him. Maybe he'll be back later in the tournament. But Cristiano Ronaldo, Ray, had a knee brace on and has also missed practice the other day. Had a knee brace on today. So what do you think the USA can do? Do you think they can beat Portugal?
So, of course, without Cristiano Ronaldo, Portugal is not as good. But
he'll play.
I think the loss of Altidore hurts the U.S. I don't think the U.S. has enough. I like Portugal. U.S.
Now, keep in mind, though, Portugal, they got a player with a red card that's not playing. I think it's Sanchez, and then two of their guys got hurt, too. And if Ronaldo's not 100%, I don't know. I'm going to stick on my USA pick. And, oh, by the way,
okay.
France took it to Sweden today. I mean, to Switzerland, 5-2. So that was big.
Yeah, they scored a field goal and a safety.
You know? Oh, man, listen, it's exciting. You know, it'll be fascinating to see, you know, as we get to Sunday and maybe, obviously this evening Ecuador has got to play, see what happens with them. but you want to see who the matchups are going to be for the next round, for the knockout, right? Because now Netherlands is probably going in as a one seed. The Dutch, they play strong. They might have an outside shot to replace Spain in that final four.
Well, you know what? They're the defending runner-up, so they can play.
That
wide-open style of theirs, it's funny because they're a bad – you know, we talked about this in the NBA Finals. They're a bad matchup. They play that wide-open style, that free-flowing style. It'd be very interesting to see if the Netherlands played Brazil just beautiful football, you know, as they call it. It's a beautiful game. Like, Germany plays a very tactical, methodical game, but Netherlands, Brazil, they play an open, free-flowing game. It would be nice.
Yeah, I'll still keep my money on Argentina, though, getting out on that side of the bracket. I really did like Chile, though. They play, aggressive and very good. Disappointed in some of the African teams. Nigeria, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, not playing so great.
Africa's having a bad cup.
Yeah, no.
But South America's doing big things, though.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely doing big things. So let's get to sort of the news of the day. The Cleveland Cavaliers. They have a new coach. They hired EuroLeague veteran coach, took Russia to the bronze, won a championship in Israel with Maccabi. David Blatt played at Princeton from, 77 to 81. And David Blatt is the new head coach of the Cleveland Cavs. Are you surprised? You think it's great. He's 55. It's, you know, the first EuroLeague coach getting a chance in the USA game. What are your thoughts about it? And how do you think it affects them attracting free agents? And then we'll get to the draft with Embiid being hurt and stuff. What are your thoughts about Blatt?
So the question is, can that international style work in the NBA? I don't know, frankly. Toronto is the closest to an national type of team. I guess the Spurs, too. But I'm not sure. You know, TBD for me. I don't know how he plays, but I know that in these days, you also have to be somewhat of a college free agent to come. You've got American, college stars, so it's TBD. But you know what? In some ways, I like thinking out of the box. Why not try somebody who's got a new, fresh approach? Stir it up.
You think
he
implements a little bit of Princeton offense? The backdoor cut in the NBA. You like that? I mean, they say he's an offensive.
Well, everybody copies everybody else, right? So it might be a Greg Popovich thing where he's gotten a lot out of international players, and maybe they're thinking that offense and international style of ball can help get them to be, San Antonio East. Now, does this help or hurt them in their efforts to attract free agents and specifically LeBron James? I don't know. Maybe like LeBron James, he just got beaten by the Spurs, and maybe in his heart, wow, I was lucky to get by the Spurs the first time. And LeBron wants to be a billionaire. If you're domestic, so maybe thinking a guy with some international experience can help boost my.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit. You're going in and out. We're kind of losing you. But I definitely hear what you're saying. And I think, look, obviously LeBron went to play for Eric Spoelstra. I think it's more about the Cavs roster. And so Kyrie and some of their young talent, you wonder, might that be enough? I kind of believe he's going to stay in Miami, unless the only place that I think he would go besides Cleveland would be Phil Jackson in New York. to play with Melo if they could ever work that out. But really, it's in the Cavs' court right now because Joel Embiid had surgery today. You feel bad for him. It's a pretty serious foot fracture, and he'll probably miss the entire season. So the question is two things. How far does Joel Embiid fall? I've got a couple of thoughts on that. And then two, do the Cleveland Cavaliers take Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins? Who do the Cavs draft?
So it's really, do you believe in Wiggins' athletic ability that it just trumps everything? Is he Stacey Augmon or is he Scottie Pippen? You know, this guy's got tremendous athleticism, but Jabari Parker is more NBA ready right now. He may never be the defensive player that Wiggins might become. So do you want to win now or build for the future? I have an issue that they'll take Jabari Parker because they don't think they'll get – they may not think they'll get LeBron. And if they don't, then to get the most NBA-ready guy now, and especially now that they have an offensive coach, I think they go with Jabari Parker.
Plus the character, the maturity, the leadership. I think, he has in common, even though he didn't really play there for a hot second, but he has in common Duke with Kyrie. And I think you're right. He could play the three, and I think they need to give up on LeBron, and I think Parker would be the perfect number one pick. But here come the rumors, Ray. What you're hearing now is that the Sixers are so in love with Wiggins, right, that they either want to trade up Milwaukee or that they are offering 3 and 10 to Cleveland to get the number one pick so they can definitely get Wiggins. So,
I would do that in a second if I was
Yeah,
Cleveland.
No, and even for Milwaukee, right? I mean, you know, you drop down and even for two to get 3 and 10 would be a steal for Milwaukee. So Philly is trying to do that. There's also an interesting rumor. This one is kind of fascinating. And then we'll get to Embiid. That the Sixers might want to trade Thaddeus Young and Michael Carter Williams, for the number 7 pick and Steve Nash's expiring contract, and basically Steve Nash. So what do you think about that? Do you think so? Then the Lakers would get a starting 3 and a point guard to go with Kobe and Young and Carter Williams, and then the Sixers wind up getting Nash, play a point for his final year, probably, and then number 7 pick.
Oh.
Which then they could package 3, 7, and 10, or take 3 players, you know, 3 young players to fill out their roster.
I don't know why the Sixers would do that. Look, it seems like Thaddeus Young has been on the trading block ever since he left Georgia Tech. I don't understand. Either trade the guy or play the guy, but ultimately, I think at some point you just got to lock down your talent, and I think that they did that with Michael Carter Williams. They got a flyer in Nerlens Noel, so to me, they need a forward or a two-guard that they can build around to kind of complement those two anchors. Use the picks. Why would you – I mean
– Right. You don't need to keep trading young talent. I think they've already traded.
Yeah, free agency next year. You want Nash, money. Well, it's only $10 million, I think, for Nash. You think that you're going to make a serious play for Trent, bring him back near home, bring him to Philly? I mean, why are you doing Kevin Love? Unless you have a longer-term play for 2015 free agency – think that Carmelo and all the Heat guys are going to opt in for 1 year? I don't know, but between these players, if you're Philly, enough already. You tank the whole year, so get your players start to play your system and your identity.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're still kind of jumping in and out there, but I'll tell you this. what the Sixers could do, stay pat at, you know, maybe at three, you might not get Wiggins. I don't know if maybe there you go with Gordon or Noah Vonleh. But then the problem, the benefit or the situation could be Embiid might drop. Some say he won't get past Orlando or Boston or L.A., but just in case those teams don't want to take him, you can take him at 10 and then wind up with, you know, a really nice draft, and then you'll have, just like Noel, you know, redshirted 1 year, you have Embiid, and Embiid and Noel defensively at the 5 and 4 could wind up being special if they could both stay healthy. And with technology and surgeries, maybe you got to have some faith that Embiid will be okay. Great talent. I'd hate to see him drop out of the lottery. I got to believe whether it's, you know, Orlando, Boston, L.A., or Philly, one of those four teams will snatch Embiid. He won't go that far down. But to me, if you could add, you know, two top-tier players, or maybe you get an Exum and see if you can play Exum and Michael Carter-Williams together in the backcourt, I don't know. But getting a 3 and a 10, and if that 10 is Embiid, why not take a shot at him, you know?
Yeah. I pick up Joel Embiid at 10. That's a no-brainer. It's hard to drop that far just because he's so different from anybody else in this draft. He's really the only big man that gives you offense and defense. There's some big men that can give you one side of the court, but he gives you both. I think you take a risk on him, and he'll go top 10 for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, some people already, you know, projecting, you know, Wiggins at 1. Some folks have Parker at 1. I think, you know, maybe Philly could easily take Embiid at 3, you know, to make sure that they get him. And then still, you know, obviously get a good player at 10, whether it's a Zach LaVine or Nick Stauskas, you know. I mean, something pretty solid, Gary Harris. I think that there's a lot of talent. I'll say this, I'm sort of surprised. I think as we're getting closer to the draft, and on next Thursday and next Wednesday we'll have our draft preview show for you. We'll break down, you know, all the teams, the lottery, all that stuff. But are you surprised that there's less hype about this draft as we get closer to it than sort of what we heard or thought about all season long? Because it seems like people are less interested or less hyped about these players as they got under the microscope or the magnifying glass.
In fact, that's a good point, because coming off the football draft, you would think that there'd be a lot more hype, because this was a full draft of all drafts, right? You had multiple teams tanking. You had people doing all kinds of maneuvering to try and get into this draft, get multiple picks in this draft. So I am surprised that there's less hype hoopla. Maybe it's strategy on the part of the GMs in the top 10 to just not play their cards. But interesting. I mean, I still think this is a talent deep, deep draft. I mean, I think in the 20s, you can starters in it. So we'll see. I mean, I think that the top 3 to 5, I would love it if Joel Embiid turns, or at least his talent takes him as far as he can go. I hate guys' career potentially getting short for an injury, especially before they even had a chance to taste NBA life. So let's hope he gets healthy. Maybe we can even see him a little bit this year. Maybe not. But I still think his draft has the potential to be special.
Right, and, you know, I'm kind of interested to see how, you know, these teams with multiple picks do, like the Phoenix, the Sixers, even the Bulls having 16 and 19. You know, they could get a Payne and a McDermott, or, Klay Anthony Early, my man, you know, for Wichita State. It's going to be fascinating. I want to ask you this. A lot of just, you know, around draft day, there's always trade rumors of veterans, too. And I don't know if you've heard the latest. even overseas about Kevin Love. You got a couple of people coming hard. Boston, Warriors, Phoenix, the Nuggets. The Nuggets are talking something that's not that impressive. Fareed and Chandler probably wouldn't do that. But let me ask you, would you do the Warrior deal potentially if this is what it is? I guess their first-round pick, Klay Thompson, or do they have a first-round pick? Let me just double-check that. But Klay Thompson, David Lee, and their pick, whether it's first or second, I think it's the second-round pick, for Kevin Love and Kevin Martin, who still got that hot, that big contract. Do you do that, or to me, Love not that much better than David Lee? Guess Minnesota has to do it. Minnesota would have to do
Golden
it.
Market, well, it depends. I mean, you could always wait till February and try and get something for him before the deadline. I think Kevin Love has the potential to be special. Remember, he was the, third or fourth overall pick. I think it was him and Russell Westbrook went essentially back-to-back. He's special, and you want to try and get something special in return. David Lee makes too much money. He's a good player, but he makes a lot of money, and Klay Thompson is a one-way player. So getting rid of the Kevin Martin contract helps, but I don't know. I'm holding on to Kevin Love a little bit, trying to get either a top five pick and a decent starter or a legitimate starter and a role player for him, because he's the best player to
shoot right
now. But those
are two starters, right? You could say those are two starters. Lee's a little bit older but very solid, and Klay Thompson's very young. You might not get better than that, even if you wait to the deadline, because then at the deadline, right, teams can hold you hostage because they know you're going to lose him for nothing. He's going to leave. And to me,
no, you're right, and you are playing a little
chicken. If you could do it, I would have to jump at the summer. I'd be afraid at the deadline because I think you're really forced, and you're going to get less. You'll get, you know, and then you might get offers for next year's draft pick, which you don't know how good that draft's going to be. I don't sense that next year's draft is projected to be better than this one's, and you know. As we've all said, I mean, the one thing you like about this draft, even in the late 20s or even in the second round, I mean, as an example, you could potentially get guys in the second round like a James Michael McAdoo, who's projected in the second round. I mean, so many other guys. And, you know, I think there's solid talent throughout this whole draft. I mean, obviously a C.J. Fair second round. I mean, so – to me, next year, I don't know if it's going to have that depth, you know.
Yeah, well, it definitely will. And by the way, it threatens to increase the age limit, make it 20 at any moment.
Right, right.
But ultimately,
they still got to bargain that.
Hello, cool, Ray and Tay.
Welcome to Ray and Tay. How you doing? You're on the air.
Hey, Ray and Tay, it's Oren. How you doing?
Good, good. What's up, man? You ready for this?
Hey,
you ready for this? Ready for this draft? You ready for some trades? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm ready for it, man. That's gonna be pretty exciting, man. I'm wanting to see what's gonna happen with Kevin Love. That's really, I think, gonna be a big, big thing for the NBA going forward. And you know, I'm excited to see what's gonna happen. There's gonna be some shakeups going on.
Do you see him going at draft day or trade deadline? Which one do you think?
They have to get rid of him for the trade deadline, I think. You know, you got to get something for him, or else you're going to walk out of there, you know. It's amazing the way he may go, because it's going to, you know, between him and Carmelo, I think it's going to really be, it can change the landscape a bit of what happens next year.
Do you like the Lakers trying to potentially, you know, add veteran talent? Let's say if they move their seventh pick, and that Nash contract, maybe, you know, they get Michael Carter Williams and Thaddeus Young from the Sixers to play with Kobe, and then maybe they sign some free agents like Greg Monroe's rumored to go to the Lakers. What do you think about some of those moves for LA fans?
I think that'd be great if they can get it. I think that, you know, the one thing with Kobe, he's a great player, but not, it seems like not many people can tolerate how he, you know, just how intense he is. So it takes a certain player to tolerate, you know, to be able to coexist with him. And these younger players, it sometimes turns them off. I think that may be a little bit of the problem with him. You know, just my opinion.
Yeah, you might be right. And also the fact that he makes an inordinate amount of money. I mean, he's going to be making like $25 million next year and the year after. So you don't have a lot of cap flexibility if you're free agent number two on a team when Kobe makes 25 and Steve Nash makes 10. So there's not a lot more free agent moves you can do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's amazing what's going to – I don't know what's going to you know, even with this whole the Heat thing, is to me, it's like, you know, the teams need to just pump their brakes a little bit and just, you know, and look and really see what they can get value-wise. I think the draft's pretty strong.
Right, right. I actually love Pat Riley's press conference yesterday, and he's like, can we all just get a grip? You know, Pat Riley just breaks it down, and you just got to listen because he's so right. You know, the wisdom comes out. And it oozes out when he says, hey, Magic lost, Bird lost, they all lost. No dynasty, you know, is undefeated. You know, obviously, you had what the Celtics did with Russell, but, you know, these guys lose. So everybody get a grip. They made a four straight finals, amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. They just need to retool. It's not like they have to rebuild, but they don't have confidence in the point guards and Chalmers and Cole. I could keep Cole as my backup. Chalmers, I might want to improve that and maybe get some size. There's been some rumors about them trying to see if they can get a Kyle Lowry, which to me would be incredible for them. I think that kid is a beast. But the problem is this. It's up to Wade, really, right, and Bosch. If they opt in for the 20-something million there, you know, then Miami's hands are sort of strapped. And – you know, Riley said, I'm not going to ask them to take less. That's up to them. But do you think if they opt in, that might push LeBron out the door? Because then he's like, wait a minute, I can't really improve this roster, and I don't want to play with nothing.
Well, I think that where is he going to go that he's going to see that type of success right now? Nowhere, pretty much, to me, that can afford him. The only person really need to take less right now, I mean, yeah, Wade, because of his talent, I mean, his talent declined a little bit, but Bosch need to take less because he's doing a whole lot less.
Yeah. But does Bosch have to do more? Can Bosch do more? I think possibly Bosch can do more. I think if you put him at the four and have him score at the four and not have to do as much work at center – I think we're going to have to rely on Bosch to do that because Wade is, you know, he's probably going to be worth $13 million. Now, he might take 20 and a half, but, you know, that's where his game is. His game is going to, I think. I don't know. What do you think, Greg?
I think Wade is the key. Wade's decision. Yeah, he's the domino that everything falls into place. I think if Wade opts in, and his opt-in is for 2 years, I think. If he opts in, then that might turn LeBron off, and that might push LeBron out the door. So he might actually talk to Wade, tell him to opt out, and maybe renegotiate that contract, saving some money and maybe being able to bring in another free agent. Because I can't see that. If Wade opts in, and LeBron really, really his options are limited for the next 2 years while those two are under contract. So, yeah, I think my personal thought is they should make one more run at it and try and go 3-2 in NBA Finals and then break up the band.
I agree.
Yeah,
I think you can't go wrong with that run. Remember, Battier and Ray Allen might retire. Battier's already retired. Ray Allen's looking like he might retire. And then under contract is really just Cole. And if they want to, they can opt in. The team has the option for Birdman. So, I mean, that's five guys you know, let's say that's your starting lineup. You know, Cole, Wade, LeBron, Bosch, and Birdman. You know, you still got to fill out 7-8 more players. And they do have the young kids under contract. I guess James Ennis they'll bring back over. They stored him over in Europe, their draft pick. You know, I guess these guys have got to develop. But I still think that they need some more wing players. I think they need more size off the bench. And I think they got to improve at point guard.
I think the other thing is overlooked somewhat is that their coach needs to start showing his growth. Spoelstra has achieved a lot in early in his career, and he hasn't shown growth. In this last series, he showed that he hasn't grown because basically it was like, go out there and save me. And he has to show he can adapt. And he needs to grow as a coach.
That's fair. Who do the Cavs take at number one, Oren?
I think they're going to take I like Parker a little more than Wiggins, so I would go with Parker. I don't know if they actually need him, but, you know, I think that he just seems to be more of a ready right now. But the center, I mean, he's a long shot. I mean, he'll be nice if he can come over that foot injury, but it's kind of a big gamble with him.
Yeah, I'd be afraid. I mean, boy.
Yeah.
That's, the back, too.
You mess those two things.
Yeah, you never want a 19-year-old to have back problems. You're a little too young for that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Well, fellas, I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Sorry I missed you last Monday. I had to go.
No, that's okay. And actually, this week we got a special show, so we're not on Monday. So check us Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, for our NBA draft preview show. We're going to preview the whole draft, break down the teams and the lottery and everything, so.
All right, good. All right, well, I'll talk to you both later. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, let's fill some beats real quick, come back, talk some quick NFL news, and then finish off strong with Major League Baseball. Ray and Ted.
We're back.
Yeah, man.
Get into it.
Well, listen, these mini camps and surgeries for Clowney, and, you know, hopefully he can get back. But, Ray, sad to hear, former UCLA running back Jonathan Franklin, his career is over at Green Bay after just one season from this, you know, when he got injured from a severe neck injury. That breaks my heart. That's just sad.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it. It's as a parent, as a person observing football, it's tough, man. This sport is so tough. They're so fast. They hit so hard that your career is over. Just even before it began, you just touched the fruit a little bit. Didn't even get to take a bite of the apple, and his career is over. That's terrible.
That one breaks your heart. Obviously, you know, Seattle got their rings. They tweeting them and Instagramming them out. The rings look ridiculous. All the carrots, the emeralds, yada, yada, yada. Jim Harbaugh giving a speech to the guys. Look, for the next 5 weeks before training camp, don't get in no more trouble. Just chill out. You know, they're saying that Kaepernick and the offense is going to pass more this year, even though they got Carlos Hyde and Frank Gore to run it and stuff like that. Your boy Cam Newton, the last day of minicamp, appeared on that ankle, so he's looking like he's ahead of schedule. You know, you might get some big things out of him. And so, you know, we sort of stand pat for a little bit. Obviously, the rookies signed Manziel and Bortles, you know, everybody signed their first round, you know, which they wouldn't for Justin Gilbert to sign, but all the first-rounders have signed under contract. And, you know, Ray and Tay will start in the next month. We'll get you ready with training camp, and we're really going to start to hit you heavy with some fantasy football, Ray. I think this year we got to go in and give them some fantasy gurus, because both you and I, Ray and Tay, have won multiple championships in the last 5 years in multiple leagues. So we're going to have to start sharing some more fantasy advice. So we'll start doing that, you know, late July, August, getting you ready, breaking down the positions for everybody for their drafts. But, Ray, I got to ask you, did you hear and see what our boy did in Chavez Ravine, 22nd no-hitter in Dodgers history? Clayton Kershaw, 15 strikeouts, almost had the perfect game, wasn't for the error, and the Dodgers are breathing on the Giants' heels. What'd you think about Clayton and obviously his dominant performance?
You know, right. It's hard to exceed expectations when you're the $30 million man. So he's just awesome, and the Dodgers are going to ride him and that offense, you know, as far as they can. The more interesting thing is, why aren't the Dodgers just dominating? You know, we keep talking about Greinke, Ryu, and Kershaw, plus that offense. I mean, they got to settle that outfield. And now Beckett pitches, you know, get to that youth back in his game. So you think the Dodgers could potentially have the best team in baseball, and yet they're not dominating like they should. So maybe this gets their engine going before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think they're coming, because they're, you know, 3 in a row, 7 out of their last 10. The Giants are fading, 2-8 in their last 10, lost 5 in a row. So I think they're coming strong. They're balling out hard. You know, the Cardinals are trying to inch closer to Milwaukee. You've got, you know, Atlanta and Washington, you know, fighting each other, going back and forth in the NL East. And you got the Anaheim Angels, Ray, or the Los Angeles Angels. They're starting to turn it around, but they, you know, more for the wild card, because they're 6 back behind the A's. But we got to talk about your Royals. How about the Royals 10 in a row and getting 2 out of 3 from the Detroit Tigers, and they're now half a game up on the Tigers. We got to give Kansas City a lot of love.
I've been saying this for the last 2-3 years, that Kansas City is a legit team. And I'm waiting, and they might be ready. They might be ready. I tell you what, man, every this team, like how it's constructed.
It's been since '85, you know.
That's right. They actually
won it. Yeah. With our boys, George Brett, Frank White, Willie Wilson, Quisenberry. Remember the old
crew? Yeah, they call it the I-35 series.
That Saberhagen, right? They had a great team. Didn't they have Amos Otis, too? Wasn't he with them? They had a nice, nice team.
Yeah, I don't remember. That team was legit, and they had that series. Remember, St. Louis was up. Everybody thought St. Louis was going to win, and then the Royals won in 7. So that'd be great. I would love to see these small market teams. You know, I got a special place in my heart for Kansas City. Those Yankees Royals battles of the late 70s and early 80s.
Oh, they were the best.
Again, I would love to see them make the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, and you know it'd be pretty interesting, because we're talking about the wild card, and you got the Yankees, the Tigers, and the Angels sort of all kind of battling each other, maybe Cleveland too. But it's great to see that the Yankees are really, with such injuries, you know, they're a little bit up on Baltimore, with such injuries, they are hanging tough, a game and a half behind Toronto. At 38 and 33, you got to be pretty impressed with the Yankees. 3 in a row, 7 out of the last 10. And honestly, Ray, Tanaka, he's going for the cycle. Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, and MVP. How about that? Would Tanaka be the man amongst all men pulling that down?
Now, he's the single more player in Major League Baseball in what he's giving to his team. The Yankees, without him, they're not even .500 team. This guy has just been fantastic. So he should get votes for, I don't know if he'll win. Right now, Cy Young is probably his to lose. You know, Marv winning of the year pitch that perfect game. But this kid, Tanaka, is the real deal. Good for the Yankees for locking him down for the next 7 years.
Yeah, and it's really big this year, especially because of the injuries with Pineda and CC. Looks like, you know, it's going to take a while for them to come back, especially CC. And, you know, again, I think I'm really shocked with 29 wins from the Rays, because I just thought that this roster this year, that the Rays would be able to really do something. And every minute that they try to win a game, they go ahead and lose two. At 29-45, they might already be out of the playoffs and might not be able to, you know, make it back. It's kind of fascinating. But you know what I do love? These young batters. I mean, you got Abreu and Stanton battling for the, you know, the home run lead. Guys are really banging it out. And what I think you would agree is more impressive from Clayton Kershaw is he pitched the no-hitter against one of the best offenses in baseball with Tulowitzki and Blackman and Gomez, all the hitters that the Rockies have. That's a good offense, you know?
Yeah, that team can play. Look, the Dodgers, the good thing about the Dodgers is it's all going to have to deal with Colorado and San Francisco. So, but back to one of those teams, I just can't get my – you know, there's two or three surprises every year. The fact that they're 29-45, they have the worst record in the American League. I think they might have the worst record in baseball. They have the worst record in baseball. They are – yep, by percentage point, they're worse than the D-backs. Could you imagine that the Tampa Bay Rays would be deep enough? You and I both predicted they'd win the AL East and even go deep in the playoffs.
Exactly.
So this team's going to get broken up, or at least David Price is going to go somewhere. And do they have to rebuild, or do they just chalk this up to a bad year?
I think just the way the team is financially, they might need to rebuild. And I could see Price or Samardzija from the Cubs going to the Royals. I think the Royals by the deadline will be buyers. And it'll be interesting to see if a team like the Yankees can get a Price or Samardzija, or do you see Milwaukee going in there and trying to do it. It'll be fascinating to see, you know, the Royals, maybe even Los Angeles Angels, who's buying for those two pitchers, Samardzija and David Price. So either way, it's going to be fascinating, and we will stay tuned and bring you all that baseball talk, you know, and have fun with that. So looks like we had another good show. We will be globetrotting still with Ray. And Wednesday, Ray, we're going to we got to get you nice and clear so the fans can hear some of your lottery picks. But we will be breaking down the NBA draft in detail with the teams. We might not do the whole first round. Maybe we'll just do the lottery. But we will we'll give you a lot for the draft. It's going to be fun, our NBA draft preview, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern. You ready, Ray?
Man, I'm ready. You know what I want to see, though, I want to see a couple of trades as is today, but would love to see some trades. Just shake it up a little bit. Let's see some GM.
I agree. Trades are in the order. Definitely in the order. Great show, and tell everybody thanks for listening and talking sports with friends. Ray and Tay today. Peace. Have a weekend.